Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends like my friend, Dr. Andy. Well, she doesn't let friends feed kibble now, do you, Dr. Andy?
I do not. Happy Monday, Dee Dee.
What's up? I missed you. I did a replay for you last week, but and people that really listen to us are like, was that a replay? Yes, it was.
We have people that really listen to us. That's exciting.
I know.
that's awesome.
Imagine that. You missed the Bigglesons. You've got to go back and listen to that.
That came up on my feed. It's marked. I got to listen to that. Yep.
I've already been getting emails from people that are like, oh my gosh. You know, they kind of blow your mind. And I'm in there. I have Academy 1, 2, now I'm in 3. So I'm really studying with them. And then I have both of their books, but this is a great book right here. Holographic Blood, which will blow your mind. But anyway, fun stuff. They really are excited about working with us with pets. And that's not something that they've kind of been, you know, that they'd be concentrating more on humans, but it's kind of be cool. But what I wanted to tell you, Dr. Andy.
Yes.
Was their big thing is structure. You've got to have the body aligned. And that's what you do. I mean, and so, you know, I was talking to Josh and he said, look, I would need to study look at the anatomy of dogs a little bit more. But for people, they're like, that is so key to be structurally aligned. And I thought, man, what
and
you
they
do
are
it-
chiropractors, right? And so is
no.
their dad.
No. No, Harvey, their dad is an MD. He passed away in 2019. Neither one of the boys are MDs. They just grew up in this environment.
Okay. Got it.
But they an osteopath work for people is what they're really looking at. You know, osteopathic and body work. But you don't have osteopaths for dogs.
I don't. There might be. It really chiropractic versus osteopathic. Osteopathic adjustments use long levers. We do a short impulse adjustment right at the spot. That's the basic difference. So
yeah.
They're all adjustments. They're just different types.
But I just wanted to tell you what you do is extremely important for our pet's health. Extremely important.
Well, thank you. And I agree.
And I concur. And you use tuning forks, which is another thing that they suggest for people. Mm-hmm. You use them on pets. So I was like, man, I don't know if Dr. Andy knows how important she really is. I do.
Yeah, the tuning forks is a type of adjustment. It actually vibrates the bone. The bone's actually, I actually did a newsletter quite a while ago about bone and how it's just not hard and white.
It's what they say.
It's a living structure. It vibrates, and the tuning forks will actually vibrate the bone and change it. It's piezoelectric. And the bone is so dynamic. And all we think about is, you know, hard, white, and don't break them, right? But they are amazing. And plus, that's where all our bone marrow, the bone marrow makes all our red blood cells. Like, that's where our blood is made. It's really, really cool. And they're really, really important. And yeah, the tuning fork I use is in an applied kinesiology format. It's called an interosseous fault that I'm adjusting for with it. So there's actual tuning fork classes for people, and you use different forks for different things. I don't know that stuff. I know this little niche that I learned from my mentor. But yeah, if you ever make it in, I do an actual adjustment. I think everyone's used to, right? With that force, I'll use my thumbs to do something different. I'll use the tuning fork. I use all kinds of different types of adjustments to really impact the nervous system.
That's so amazing. So I want to, so what are they? Okay. So they're saying use the, I'm asking you, your trainers in regards to the tuning forks. Why do, what is it all about, Alfie? I mean, it's like, okay, tuning forks working in the bone area. Does it help the bone? What does it do?
It puts it returns the vibration of the bone back to the normal homeostatic vibration that it should be in. So let's see if I can get a your dog. Yesterday, I had a dog lose her mind that she was seeing me and whacked her hock like you wouldn't believe on my table. Just whacked it. She didn't notice, but as dogs do, right? So got her up on the table, did injury recall. So I rubbed the area. Impulse into the occiput, impulse into the hocks. But then I went over it with my interosseous fault hand mode. And right in the middle of the bone, we needed to do the tuning fork because she hit that bone. That bone was then not vibrating the way it wanted to or was supposed to. And those spots are painful. So you'll actually see me do quote unquote adjustments, not on the joints. I will go down the long bones. I usually check the humerus and the femurs, those long bones, for any kind of interosseous faults. Or if we're just the history is just a little interesting in a leg, I will go over the entire leg looking for them because those little suckers, they're really painful. And if I get them cleared out, sometimes you have a whole new dog. And it wasn't a hip and it wasn't a knee and it was just this little, and maybe they hit it on something. I don't know how they always occur. I really don't.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Where do you know the history of tuning forks, how that came about?
Really don't. I really don't. Although I do remember in chiropractic school, the only thing we were taught about tuning forks was if someone thinks they broke a rib or a little bone in their wrist, if you put a tuning fork on it, you will drop them to their knees.
Why?
Because that bone is not connected, right? It's broken. It'll detect a fracture. So you vibrate that, and those two ends kind of touch each other. Horrifically painful. I'm like, oh, don't need an X-ray. That's broken. especially on ribs, like you can just suspect because there's nothing you can really do about ribs. Now, wrists and all of you might want to get an X-ray and confirm which bone because there's eight little bones in there in the human. So, but yeah, you can detect if something's fractured with it. So they're pretty
Wow.
powerful little in, you know, I was going through the airport the other day and I pulled my purse. Anyway, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if that tuning fork looks a little funny on there because I have a tuning fork in my purse because you never know when you might need it because I could use it as an adjustment, right? It wasn't. They were worried about all the coins in my wallet. I don't know, but, you know, TSA.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh no, the tuning fork. So they're like $8 on Amazon. I have them like all over the place.
But you have to know how to use them. You can't just go around like
No, you can't.
putting a tuning fork all over your body. I
Well,
mean,
if you think it's broken, you can. But other than that, no, don't be putting it anywhere willy-nilly because you can then start causing issues. And then you have all the different sizes and all the different frequencies. And that's where I fall out of the game. I don't know how to utilize all that. But Google it. There's classes all over the place. You can go learn. And then you
wow.
could use it on your animals once
You know
you.
what? You know what I'm saying, and maybe it's just because I'm in this frequency, or I'm open to it, or whatever. But it does appear to me that there's a lot more people out there that are doing and investigating homeopathy, holistic, all of these different modalities that don't involve traditional medicine, right? Do you see that with?
Would love to say yes, I do, but I only surround myself with that, so it's really hard to tell. Am I seeing, you know, the same old 20% and still 80% of people are just running off to centralized medicine? I don't know, but I'm going to agree with you, Dee.
You
I'm going to agree with you because I want that out in the world because people need to start looking other places. They really need to start looking at other places and realizing how the centralized medicine and everything is so broken. and not in your best interest or your animal's best interest.
No. And, you know, the more I look into it, the more it makes total sense why so many people and so many dogs die when you put poisons and chemicals in their body, right? The more that I'm really learning about this terrain of ours, the terrain of the dogs. And I you know what I think? I think when you really begin to study about your own health, that absolutely will spill over into the pet world and into your pets, because you're looking at them and you're thinking, all right, I'm giving them garbage, right? And yet I don't eat garbage. Why should my pets eat garbage?
Or maybe I do eat garbage and now I'm sick and I changed my diet and I feel better. So maybe I should change my pet's diet, right? Like maybe it comes that way. I actually have people that come in the other way. We changed the dog and they're like, I need to make some changes here. So I think it can go either way, but I think you nail head on the nail. The more obvious one is the people are doing different things. And then they're like, well, I should be doing stuff over here with my animals too.
Yeah. And you know, the one thing that I really want to look into with animals, and I think you're way ahead of this, it is inflammation. Okay. And from this standpoint, that inflammation is the way that we heal. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Inflammation. So like, you know, if your dog has a cut and that cut begins to heal, then you get all this redness and swelling, as we call inflammation around the body. That's very, very, very important. Now, trapped inflammation, chronic inflammation, that's a whole nother ballgame. That means that the vitamins, nutrients, the blood, everything that goes on in our body and our dog's body is trapped. But my question is, how do we know? How do we know if it's chronic inflammation or trapped inflammation in our dog's body? What are your thoughts?
You've got to change something.
But first, how do you identify the trapped inflammation?
They're sick. Something's going on. They're limping. They're gaining weight. They're lethargic. They're diagnosed with high liver values. They're diagnosed with kidneys. They're sick. Something is going on. And generally inflammation is involved in that. Now, what system is involved? Do you have a cardiac that's your weak? Because everybody has a weak point, right?
I guess. I hope not.
Everybody has a system. Either it's bones and joints and ligaments, or it's your cardiac, or it's your immune system. And it's just going to depend on what you get diagnosed with. And five dogs can live in the same house, each having different symptoms, but it may all be caused by the same thing. But centralized medicine doesn't look at it like that. And so many animals have just, so there's inflammation involved in that. And so if you have a sick animal, anything, you have inflammation and you have a system that is struggling. Now, what do? Right? You change something. You're already raw feeding, you're already listening to the podcast, and you're doing 40 million supplements, stop all the damn supplements and see what you get. You know, get them outside in the sun more. Maybe they're not out there enough.
And I'm going to say right off the bat, get them adjusted.
Get them adjusted. Yeah. We can the adjustments can clear out a lot of inflammation right off the bat. And we can get the nervous system, thank you, Dee Dee, the nervous system talking to each other and upregulated and doing what it's supposed to be doing. Yes. Yeah. So if we get the structure going, sunlight and food, get those things online, get those dialed in. And for pet parents, stop bloody worrying about it all so much.
Well, and I think too, our verbiage is wrong. And I mean it by this, that I'll get people that email and say, my dog's sick. Mm-hmm. Describe that to me. Mm-hmm. They're throwing up the food and their poops aren't as perfect as they were. Okay. That's not sick. That's not sick. That is. All right. So like if I have somebody that's coming off of a home diet, right? And now they're going on the blends, Typically, your home diets don't have the level of organs that we have in our food, right? So you got to give your dog a little time to adjust to those organs. A lot of people don't use real bone. They're going to use bone meal, or they're going to use eggshells, things like that. So maybe that they're not able to totally digest those bones yet. I mean, so understand what you're saying about my dog is sick. Yes. And I am learning that we need to be careful of the words that we use, right? Of the words that we use, just so that what we see is correct, what we hear is not tainted by our words. But that's not sick, all right? That looks like a little bit of a tweak and an adjustment. But I hear that a lot from our pet parents.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Absolutely.
A lot. So Dr. Andy, if you were to say, what is a sick dog? Where could you absolutely say my dog is sick? Sick. What does that look like?
That's a cancer diagnosis. Everything.
Go ahead. Well, I started to say, and the other thing that I'm learning about cancer diagnosis is this. It's a diagnosis.
Yes. Bingo. Ding, 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 ding. It's just some words put on you. Now what's possible?
And you know what? The other thing that, like working with the Bigglesons and talking with them, they're like, and Amanda Vollmer as well. They're like, if you get a cancer diagnosis, a doctor, you or your pets, a doctor can almost give you the time. How do I say this? They implant in your brain how much time you have.
Yep, they do.
And they're like, and you die to that that time frame.
Yes, you do, because it's been energetically embedded in your brain. You have 9 months. Okay, how many people die at 9 months? There you go. Proved correct, right? So you almost, if you get that diagnosis, you don't want to know what category or what level or whatever they want to grade it as. And you don't want to know how much time. But, you know, people want to find that out. I don't know why, but you don't want that information because you don't want to know that for you or your pet. Getting any kind of label like that, any kind of diagnosis like that is what centralized medicine feels like. We've done our job. We got the correct word for you. We can't help you. We don't have anything that's really going to make you feel any better or really fit. Well, maybe we can fix that, but we're going to like fry this other system. But hey, we got the correct diagnosis for you. And they're so proud of themselves. Probably the most useless part of it all, truly.
Right.
The diagnosis. Now, what can we do about it? What systems can we upregulate? What systems do we need to downregulate? What needs to change? And what is going on in your environment that's supporting you being sick or your pet being sick and changing all of that? The devil, as we talk about, is in the details, not in the diagnosis.
You know, and the Bigglesons are going to work with us a little bit more on pets. But, you know, one thing that we were asking them about is, and I might have mentioned this on the podcast, that you see that the dogs have the same energy as their pet parents. So we were asking them about that. We were like, and they were like, look, dogs pick up and sometimes will take on your stuff so that you don't have to.
Yes. Yes. So I see it all the time. And generally what happens is now your dog is sick or sore, and you're still a little sick and sore. They don't take all of your stuff away. But I've met dogs that riddled with cancer, it turns out, so is the grandmother. It doesn't even have to necessarily even be the person in the house. Like, they are amazing creatures on what they will take on for us. And then everybody's like, oh, just stop doing that. Don't do that. That's not how that works. You need to honor them, thank them for that. And y'all need to go out and release it back to the earth and ground and work on it together. But oh my gosh, I go, it's a left SI. That the owner's like, well, that's where my problem is. It's a right elbow. Oh yeah, that's my problem too. Oh, they have adrenal Addison's. Oh, I have adrenal fatigue. Like, it is across the board. It is amazing. And when I first started this 20 years ago, I always thought it was funny. Oh, the little fat old lady with diabetes has a little fat old dog with diabetes. Yeah, for a reason. They live together. That dog is trying to support her. It's fascinating when you see and actually pay attention to and listen to these people that I've done for 20 years, right? And that doesn't come out in the first visit, you know, generally. It takes a little bit of getting to know people and everything, but it is fascinating.
You know, yeah. Dr. Andy, I think that's a book. I think you should write a book.
Write a book about that. I'm serious. Fascinating. Because I've also tell people, if all they ever pick out is neurotic dogs, you have somebody else pick your dog out. Because that is an energy you are familiar with and you will beeline to that dog. So you also can pick that dog that matches your energy and brings it in. I was talking with another client in common, and she's like, yeah, they just got another dog. It's a little bigger. It looks exactly like their other dog and it bites too. That's the energy they're comfortable with. Why? I don't know the why, but they should not be picking up their own dogs. but yeah, that whole energy thing, it's real. It is real.
Well, I want to talk to you more about all this energy work and kind of how we can be better for ourselves and be better for our pets. So maybe that's a whole webinar that you need to put together that we can present, yeah. Dr. Andy. I'm just saying.
Would there be an interest out there, folks?
There's an interest. There's an interest. I'm telling you, I'm interested. And I think that people want to understand that, you know, because we don't understand this energy field. Right there's a total, mm-hmm. and you understand it because you're dealing with that all the time in the work that you do, right? So sort of like I said with the Bibblesons, they just grew up around things that look like miracles to other people, right? And mm-hmm. and when you're, you know, when that's your work, it's sort of like when people say, I've never heard of raw dog food before. Well, I'd never heard of the holographic blood. It's been out there for ever, right? And
interesting work. Yeah, it's been out there forever. They've been doing all this and you're like, I just hear about this. What? Yeah,
right. But I think it's when your frequency changes, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Yep. Andy, yep. that you will draw in different things, yep. right? You are able to see. Now, if you don't believe that you have to see it in your mind or before you see it in reality, let me just give our listeners a very easy example. You buy a new car. You've never seen that car anywhere until you buy it. And now it's everywhere.
Everywhere. Or you've never seen it in that color before. And now everyone has it in that color.
Right.
True story.
Right. And yes. That's one that everybody can relate to.
Yep.
So I always, I you call it woo-woo, call it anything you want, but try it, you guys. If you see it in your mind first, you have a consciousness of it. Okay. Like, okay, I see German Shepherds everywhere. Why? Because I have a German Shepherd, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, where did all these German Shepherds come from? And, you know, so it's really amazing. So you could call it law of attraction. You could call it, I don't know what you could call it, but right. It's a fact. Yes. It's a fact. I'm not saying that you sit there and wish and hope. You know, I want to see money everywhere on my counter. I don't know, right. but
you know, you can do that. That might help with people, you know, don't want to dismiss that either. But I was talking with a friend and she said something about we are magic and we still have to do the dishes.
Right.
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 We can create all this. We can be energy. We can change and we still have to do the dishes, meaning you still have to do the work. Right. You still have to put one foot in the front of the other and do things. You can't just sit there and hope and pray and wish.
Well, and you know, I've been looking at this lately of how we give our power away and why maybe some people don't heal and other people do. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a new thing coming out. It's called the inside effects, and the Amanda Vollmer's on there, Tom Cowan, Andy Kaufman, a lot of people I don't really know. But it's this new TV series that they're looking at with all these healers, right? And they're people who have gotten these diagnoses and just said, no, mm-hmm. I'm not dying. I'm not doing that. And just all this stuff. And it is, you have to do the work. So if you give your power away to your veterinarian, to the oncologist, to whomever, and they do what you said, implant that your dog has this diagnosis and he only has this and the treatment is only that, then you've just given it all away. And I really would like to get into it sometime with you about how we get answers. Cause I think a lot of people are like, I don't know how to do this if I don't go that direction. Right. And, and I think what I see is if you set an intention every day and you get up and you say, my intent is to be open for answers. My intent is to be open for the right direction, meet the right person, get the right thing. And do you believe that, Dr. Andy, that you're led? That you're absolutely led?
Oh, that's great to ask that. I go, okay, universe, bring me what I need. Like, I don't know where to go. And it is amazing what people will show up. And this I learned with Jackson hit in my standard poodle's illness. He had IMHA, he had immune mediated hemolytic anemia. I think it has a different name now, but whatever. Vaccine injured. I know for a fact that that's what caused it. And they said, oh, well, he probably has another year. Here, take your immunosuppressive drugs and good luck. And I went, no. And I went, okay, I don't know where to go from here. Send. And in the next week, three people mentioned the doctor who was doing energetic medicine that I needed to see with him. I'm like, okay, I got it. Called him up, made an appointment. And it was he was cured of an incurable autoimmune disease with energetic medicine. Now, is that normal? No, but I'll take it, damn it. And he lived another 8 years. But I didn't know where to go, but I knew I wasn't, that was not okay in my world. He was not going to be on these drugs and die in a year. That's no. And that was my answer to the universe. Like, no. So what else you got?
Right?
And this name showed up literally three times in a week. Okay. You have to pay attention too.
Right. So one of the concepts that the Bigglesons talk a lot about is that the body's not trying to kill you. A dog's body's not trying to kill them. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. It is always trying to go back to homeostasis, right? Mm-mm. And there are always, and so they talk about autoimmune. They're like, that doesn't even make sense. They're like, that would suggest that the body is trying to kill itself. Yes. And they're like, that doesn't make any sense. That's a term that has been created because they don't know what the hell to do.
Yes. It's just junk diagnosis. They just have no other answer except, and then for all the autoimmune in people and animals, oh, let's just shut the immune system down. There's our answer. No. But there is no why is the immune system doing this? No, the body is not actively out to get you. It is doing its best it can do with the external assaults on it, be it a kibble-fed diet, be it the vaccine schedule, be it toxic medications, be it your environment. You know, the body's just trying to manage. And at some point, you know, there's a straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating. We're going to talk more about that. And I'm going to push you to do maybe an energetic webinar because I think you'd be great at it. And that's my job to make suggestions for you guys to come up with.
Yes. You're very good at it. Very good at it.
You guys want to get over to animalmagiccare.com. Remember, I said that I think that structure is one of the most important things, aligning the structure, not just in you, but in your dogs. And that's what Dr. Andy is great at. She can do a consult with you to maybe explain the energetic world that you live in with your dog. And so you want to get over to animalmagiccare.com. Get your dogs on a species appropriate diet. We got to get the junk out of the trunk. Yes. Okay. Junk out of the trunk, guys. All right. That's at rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Andy?
Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
That's right. I'll see you, my friend, next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.